Luke 19, beginning at verse 10, and reading through the 26th verse. Randy is coming to join us in the reading of the word. I will read verse 10, and he will lead you in verse 11 and responsively through the 26th verse. Let us stand in reverence to God's word as we share. Beginning at verse 10 of Luke, the 19th chapter. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God should immediately appear.
He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country, to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return.
And he called his 10 servants, and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, Occupy till I come.
But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us.
And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading.
Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds.
And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, that thou authority over 10 cities.
And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds.
And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities.
And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin.
For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, but thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow.
And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow.
Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury?
And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds.
And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds.
Everybody together, for I say unto you, unto every one who hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. Thank you, and you may be seated. I have titled my message this morning, Why Missions? The first verse that we read from Luke 19 is the heart of what I would like to say to you today. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then with the parable of the 10 pounds, he explains to them the importance of involvement, of being a part, of reaching every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter their color, no matter their race or their place. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. During the 86th Congress of the United States of America, a congressman from the state of Washington by the name of Walt Horan, H-O-R-A-N, stood to speak to that great assembly of leaders. Mr. Horan said this, There is no divine commission ordering men to go to some other world. There are multiplied commands instructing us to shadow this world with the cross. We must be wary of frustrating the process of providence by concentrating on the space race at the expense of the human race race. Mr. Horan went on to say to Congress, in short, the crux of the matter is this: shall we major in missiles and minor in missions? Shall we invest trillions in one and trifles on the other? Shall we put a man on the moon or a missionary in Martinique? Shall we awaken too late and realize while we are trying to gain the moon, we lost the earth? Mr. Horan said a mouthful. Would to God that not only Congress, but that every church in America today would feel what that great congressman felt. Do you know that last year we spent on pets $3,500,000 in America? On pets. For places to bury them in dog and kitty cemeteries. And for puss in boots. And all the rest it takes for the pets that dirty up our street and my lawn. Do you know that we spent on tobacco last year $8,100,000? It went up in smoke. Nothing left to show for it, but we spent on alcohol $23 billion. And not much left to show for that, but some very sad statistics of accidents, broken homes, and broken health. Do you know what we spent on foreign missions? $192 million. $3,500,000 for our dogs and our cats. $8 billion for tobacco. $192 million to reach the lost souls of men and women around the world. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, but we have not caught the vision. We have not felt the burden. We don't know what it means to sacrifice that men may escape the flames of an eternal hell that's just as real as the hand at the end of your arm. And this week of missionary emphasis is to somehow open the door that we might see and that the heart of God might be extended to us, that we might feel what he feels about this world that he sent his son to die for and to redeem by his shed blood. Will you be a part of it? Will you give your time and your effort to it? That's the big question. The whole meaning of the gospel as it relates to this world is in this passage of Scripture. Jesus came to seek and to save. We have become so often taken up with the things or the issues of this age that the church has lost the keen awareness that men will go to hell if they die in their sins. Perhaps we've been so taken up with Proposition 5, 6, and 7, and electing candidates, etc., etc., that we have forgotten the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The main issue before us today is the lost and what we can do to reach them with the gospel that Jesus came to bring. Let us not be caught up in the issues of this age that take us from that main objective of the church. The great danger of this church generation is that it can become so busy with social things and materialistic problems, it neglects the one great work committed to it. A man's soul is infinitely more important than his body. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. What was lost? The souls of men. He came to save men's souls. I believe in ministering where we can to the social needs of our world. But that is not our mandate. That is not our main purpose. Our main purpose for being here is what Jesus stated in Luke 19. We are here to seek and to save the lost. When the lost are found, it's amazing how they learn to care for their own needs, how they learn how to plant gardens and raise crops, how they learn how to care for their health. When Jesus reaches their heart, it's beautiful to see how everything else falls into line. So our main objective is their soul, not their body. We will do what we can for their bodies. But we go on record again this morning as saying, we are here to seek and to save the lost. Every book in the New Testament was written by a foreign missionary. Every epistle in the New Testament that was written to a church was penned to a foreign missionary church. Every New Testament letter written to an individual was written to the convert of a foreign missionary. The one book of prophecy in the New Testament is the missionary's language. The map of the early Christian world is the tracing of the missionary journeys of the apostles. The problems which arose in the early church were largely questions in missionary procedure. Of the 12 apostles chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ, every apostle except one became a missionary. The only man among the 12 who did not become a missionary was a traitor. Do you think this book is interested in missions? Yes, it's interested in missions. It's full of missions. It's full of missionaries and their message to mankind. And this book speaks to us in this important hour of history. I have three things that I want to leave with you quickly this morning. The church is under orders, the church is under authority, and the church is under ordination. We have no alternative, in my opinion, today, than to be involved in missions. And I am speaking about world missions, which starts right here and spreads to the ends of the earth. The church is under orders. Mark 16:15 contains our marching orders. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, in case you haven't checked lately, it's still in the Bible. I looked today. It's still there. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. John Stute said, Jesus is like a commanding officer who can deploy forces as he chooses and send them wherever he likes. And that's exactly right. Christ has all the authority to say, go. He has never canceled his orders. They are still in effect this very moment. In the light of expanding world population, it is imperative that we hear his voice telling us to take our place in the ranks of his royal army. Not a person that hears me today has any right to say, someone else can take my place. Someone else can go. There is no option. Go ye, is the command of our officer, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has not pulled that command back. It is a command to every one of us. And if we are involved in his army, what's necessary? Discipline is necessary. Discipline of our finances. Discipline of our time. Discipline of our talents. That we don't waste ourselves on the things that do not matter. That we discipline ourselves. That we have money to give, time to invest, strength to employ in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ that tramps this earth telling men to repent and believe the gospel. If you have involved yourself financially in such a way that you would say, Pastor, I have nothing to give, you are sinning against grace and against opportunity. We need to discipline ourselves that we will have money to give, that we will have talents to invest, time to invest, and energy to employ. And I am speaking to the teenagers as well. God is going to be speaking to us because I am praying daily that God will speak to everybody in this great fellowship to do something beyond what they've ever done before for the work of evangelizing this world. Why? Because as your pastor, I believe we are under orders to do so. We have no alternative. I must someday give an account of my money, my time, my energy, my talent. I must answer to God, just as this parable indicates. And I do not want to hear him say, depart from me. I want to have invested what he's put in my grasp wisely and well. We not only need discipline, we need intensive training. And that's what this week is all about, to train us, to prepare us to go. I don't believe a church has ever arrived as a New Testament church until it is sending out laborers into the harvest of our God. I want to alert you young people further about what I am praying. I am praying that scores of our young people will hear the clarion call, who will go for us? I am praying that young people with their life in front of them, and we have scores of talented, beautiful young people who have their life out in front of them. I am praying that God will speak to you, that you might involve yourself in the call of God to go somewhere in this world to declare his name and his purpose. Be here for the training. What else is necessary? Adequate weapons. Oh, I wish I had time to talk about our weapons. Not only do we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but we have the most powerful book in the world, the Bible. It breaks stone. It cuts through walls. And it accomplishes divine purposes wherever it is used. What weapons God has given to us. In World War II, I have heard stories of men who waited restlessly in a camp or on a ship waiting for orders to get into the battle. Sometimes on TV, the old World War II pictures show this. A group of men who have trained, have prepared, and they're in a camp somewhere, on a ship somewhere, and they're not clear as to what's going to happen. They want to get into the fray. They want to get into the battle. Often when those orders would come, after weeks of waiting, a shout would go up and an exhilarating spirit would capture the men. That's what I'm praying for this week. That we're like a group of men waiting on board ship or in a camp somewhere, waiting for orders. And when those orders come, it will be an exhilarating experience and a shout will go up in the camp. For we're now in the fray, that for which we have been trained and prepared. Will you be listening to his voice? 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, we have weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Matthew 16:18 says, the very gates of hell shall yield to the church and to the gospel. The gates of hell shall yield to the church and to the gospel. No frontier is impenetrable. No enemy invincible. No power can silence us because we're under divine orders. C.T. Studd said, I must go. If Jesus died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Leonard Ravenhill said, could a mariner sit idle if he heard the drowning cry? Could a doctor sit idle and just let his patients die? Could a fireman sit idle, let men burn and give no hand? Can you sit at ease in Zion with the world around you damned? Leonard Ravenhill said a lot to the 20th century church in those lines. I read in the paper, as you did just recently, of an Episcopalian minister who happened to be involved in an accident with a car burning and a young girl inside of that car trapped by the fire, unable to get out because of the wreckage. That Episcopalian minister leaped upon that car, tore the top literally off a sunroof with his bare hands. He ripped it off and went inside of that car and released that girl. And his city wanted to give him a citation of bravery, and he said, it's the only thing that I could do. That was the follow-up article in the paper. I saw that as well. He said, I don't need any award. That's all that I could do. She was dying in that wreck, and I had to do it. I don't know how I did it, but I had to do it. My dear friends, that's the spirit of this week of Missions Convention. We don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it by the grace of God, because we are under orders to do it. We have no alternative. There's no other plan that God has instituted. Just this one plan. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those who can hear the gospel and those who cannot comprise this world today. And we must remove the cannot. That's what this is all about. Not only is the church under orders, but it's under authority. The commission was accompanied with a promise of power and authority. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Jesus came preaching the good news of the gospel, healing all manner of diseases, casting out demons, and taking complete charge of every situation. In like manner, he has given us the same authority. It's listed in Mark 16, after verse 15. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do we believe it? That's the authority that we are under today, right now. We have that authority in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Men will be saved who believe. The church will have power over Satan. Believers will be protected by God from unseen attacks perpetrated by Satan. The ministry of divine healing shall be exercised by the laying on of hands. Why do we walk around like a bunch of people who don't know what's going on sometimes? Why do we act like we're beat down and trodden underfoot when we have the authority of Jesus Christ to work miracles, to bring men to Christ, and to see them delivered from the powers of hell? That's what I'm praying for this church. An apostolic ministry, a New Testament witness, a witness that is exactly like Mark 16 says we ought to have. Dr. Yonggi Cho, who is a very personal friend of Brother Keener. Brother Keener was the first one Brother Cho met when he came to the United States. They met on the airplane, didn't know who each other was, sitting side by side on the airplane. Beautiful story. You can tell that sometime this week, too. Tonight, he's finishing up the belt buckle story. The best is yet to come, so if you missed the first half in Sunday school, you better be here tonight. Dr. Chong Yonggi Cho's middle son died. Dr. Cho was in a meeting. He was called to come home. He went home and his boy was lifeless. He sat on his bed and he said, God, I'm not going to rise from this bed until you raise up my son. I preached this message of deliverance. I've prayed for others and seen them brought to life and brought to health. I'm not getting up until you raise up my son. He felt that death was not of God, that it was an attack of the enemy against him and his family and his church and the gospel. For 1 hour, he wrestled in prayer on that bed. After 1 hour, he got to his feet and picked up his son in his arms, and he said, Son, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command that you come back to life. And that boy's eyes opened just like that, and he looked into the face of his father, brought back from the other world. And his son said, Daddy, I just walked with Jesus. Jesus had hold of my hand. And we were looking over some beautiful buildings. And he said, I met a lot of the people that you conducted funerals for. I saw them, and they were so thrilled to see me. They were so excited to talk to me, Daddy. And Jesus showed me all of these mansions and where all of our people are. Daddy, it was beautiful. But he said, as I was visiting with them, Jesus came and said, your daddy is calling you. We've got to go back. Your daddy is calling you. And he took him by the hand and brought him back. He said, Daddy, oh, Daddy, Jesus is so wonderful. That's Mark 16. That's the authority of the church. Jesus is alive. He is well. And the gospel that we have can transform this whole world. All it takes is somebody to believe it. That's what Mark 16 said. These signs shall follow those who believe. And if you believe, I have a sneaky hunch you're going to be back tonight and through the week. And you're going to have that faith promise thing read. And you're going to be coming to church prepared because you believe. The authority has been given us. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel. Luke 24, 47 to 49 says in part, ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The choir sang it. Ye shall receive power and be my witnesses. Let's not stick our heads between our legs and walk around like a bunch of defeated people. We have authority in Jesus' name to take the very gates of hell by storm. That's what missions is all about. And finally, we are under ordination. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Caesar's household was invaded with the gospel in the days of the early church. In modern times, the most difficult nations and tribes have been reached and are responding to this great message of the gospel. Communism once boasted that it would wipe out the church. And I want you to know today the church is flourishing, even behind those curtains that men drop. Hallelujah! We are under ordination, and we will bring forth fruit, is what Jesus said, and I believe him. Let us rise and take this gospel across the city, across the nation, and around the world. Lillian Trasher, whom the press once described as the greatest American woman living outside the United States, ranked high among the missionary heroines of her time, was asked by a news reporter, "Miss Trasher, what is the secret of your missionary success? What is the greatest thing you ever did?" Lillian Trasher, whom I had the joy of meeting and hearing one time, said to that reporter, "There isn't any secret," she said. "I just stayed. I did not quit. I stayed with the work God gave me to do." And for over 50 years, in Egypt, she ministered to over 10,000 boys and girls, feeding them, training them, schooling them, sending them out in their world. She was known as the Nile Mother, one of the greatest women of this century. What was the secret? I just stayed. I did not quit. I stayed with the work God gave me to do. My dear brothers and sisters, that's what I mean when I say we are under ordination. We are going to stay. We are not going to quit. We are going to throw the sickle in further. We are going to do more, and we want all of hell to know it. We're going to do more. We're going to do more. Hear me. We're going to do more. To reach Sacramento, to reach this county, to reach this state, this nation, this world, we're going to do more. There is no secret, but just not to quit. That's the secret. We're going to stay. We're going to give. We're going to pray. We're going to join hands. We're going to sing. We're going to believe. We're going to pray. We're going to preach. We're going to teach. And we're going to reach this world with the only thing that can bring healing and help and wholeness to their brokenness. There is a legend that a man was caught in a bed of quicksand. Confucius walked by, saw him, and remarked, "There is evidence men should stay out of such places." Buddha came by and said, "Let that man be a lesson to the rest of the world." Muhammad said about the man in the quicksand, "Alas, it is the will of Allah." The Hindu said to him, "Cheer up, friend. You will return to earth in another form." But when Jesus saw him, Jesus said, "Give me your hand, brother, and I will pull you out." And that's what my Jesus is saying to this world. Give me your hand, brother. I will pull you out. And I pray to God that every man, every woman, every boy and every girl in this church will feel the heartbeat of Jesus Christ, who said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. An American soft drink company has just announced that through the use of computers, they are hoping that every person in the world will have at least one drink of their product. By the end of this decade, they're daily studying their distribution so that the world might be reached with their soft drink. Oh, my friends, if a soft drink company can use modern methods to get their message to the entire world within a few years, why cannot the Christian church, who is under orders, under authority, and under ordination to lift up out of the quicksand and the mire of this world every person who will listen to this glorious message? Why missions? The world is lost. Men are going to hell every day, every moment. And we have been blessed that we might lift them out of their quicksand and into the presence of Jesus. Will you be listening to his voice? Let us bow our heads, please, all over the sanctuary. Thank you. Service today would say, Pastor, I live in America. I've heard the gospel, but I'm not a Christian. I've not surrendered my life to Christ, but I want to do it today. I feel this is my moment of opportunity. I want to let Jesus Christ come in to my heart and forgive me of my sin and make me worth something. I'd like to see your hand right now wherever you sit in the service. I want Jesus, Pastor, pray for me. God bless you back there. Over to my left. Lift them up high so I can see them. God bless you over here, sir. God bless you over in these sections. God bless you. Lift them up and bend down as I recognize them. I want to pray for you. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a man in right standing with God avails much. I want to pray for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. How many more hands? Pray for me, Pastor. There may be heathen out in foreign lands, but I need Jesus. Yes, back under the balcony. Thank you, sir. And young man, I see your hands. How many more? I need Jesus. God bless you up here to my left in the balcony. Yes, God bless you. Yes, thank you over here. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Jesus loves you, and I love you. How many more? I want Jesus in my life. His Spirit is beckoning to me. Come to Jesus. Lift your hand up. He lifted two on a cross. God bless you, ma'am. He lifted two on a cross for you. Will you lift one for him and say, I want Jesus in my life? Come in, Lord Jesus. Do it right now before we pray. How many more? Quickly. Your moment of opportunity is right before you. Take advantage of it. Jesus loves you. How many more? Quickly raise it up. God will hear your prayer and my prayer. God bless you over here, sir. Thank you so much. God bless you. Dear God in heaven, what a joy and what a privilege, and yet how humbling it is to stand before this great assembly of people and preach the gospel. Thank you that you could take a young man who had other aspirations for his life and give him this high privilege of addressing this fellowship of people with the greatest message that has ever been given to mankind. I want to thank you personally for that privilege this morning, Lord. And Father, as you break my heart, I pray you'll break the hearts of this whole fellowship. Bring us into a closer relationship that we may truly feel the heartbeat of this world and somehow relate to it better. Put our arms around this world and draw it to a Christ who loves them. God, I thank you for those who raised their hands, wonderful people that you love and that Jesus died to redeem. Come into their hearts this morning. Save them from their sins and unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Blot out their iniquities right now. May they know that the powers of the enemy have no longer an effect upon them, that they're free in the name of Jesus, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you for that freedom. And now, before I say an amen, how many of you in this church would raise a hand and say, Pastor, this week is going to be a special week for me. I pledge myself to prayer and to heartfelt concern for this.